This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 5 was recorded on May 13th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Brent Johnson is perhaps best known as the dollar milkshake guy. But Brent, before we get into things, I do want to caution our listeners. We taped this interview on Monday afternoon as the stock market was kind of collapsing on the surprise that, hey, it turned out that there wasn't really a China deal after all. And we don't have the benefit of any news that our listeners have seen in any tape action from there until probably Friday morning when this episode will air. So I just want to let our listeners know of that. But Brent, based on what you see so far, what do you think about this trade deal situation and equity markets generally? Is the top of this what I thought was a bear market rally? Took us to new all-time highs anyway, but is it finally over and about to reverse?
Well, I think we got to talk time frames here. You know, as many people who've heard me speak before, I am still of the opinion that we're going to go higher in equities. I thought that the fourth quarter of last year was, while not totally surprising, I thought it was overdone. And, you know, as I mentioned to you in Vancouver in January, I expected that the equity market would do very well this year. And I thought it might do this well, but I thought it might take 12 months to do it. And instead, we did it in 4. So you could argue we've already had a very good year in just the first 4 to 5 months of 2019. Now, I don't know how many people follow charts or who just does fundamentals, but if you look at charts, you know, we went all the way back up to kind of the top of the range again and hit that range just right before, I guess, kind of the trade deal news, you know, last week and then early this week. And so I'm not surprised that we've had a little bit of a pullback here. I think we've pulled back 4% maybe from the high. And, you know, people have heard the sell in May and go away. It might not be a bad idea this year. I think we just need to wait and see what happens. You know, with a guy like Trump, you just never know what he's going to say. He might send out a tweet tonight and we're up, you know, 2% tomorrow. And then he might tweet something else and you're down 3% after that. So I think you really need to have a framework for what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish and try to, as much as possible, to keep the noise out of it and just look for your, you know, the different markers that you're looking at. If we punch through the higher part of that range that we've now bumped up to get up against again, I think equities can go a lot higher, but I don't necessarily think it's going to happen right now. Would not surprise me at all if equities kind of went sideways, maybe even down over the next several months.
Let's come back to another topic that we discussed at length in Vancouver, which is your dollar milkshake theory. You have been one of the most probably outspoken bulls, U.S., and I don't know if it's really even accurate to use the word bull in the sense of most people think of that phrase as meaning you really believe in the fundamentals. I think you may be more in the Jeff Snyder camp of convinced that there is a dollar liquidity squeeze, which may or may not reflect positively on the dollar, but you think that the dollar is going to outperform against other currencies. And certainly, since we saw you in Vancouver, you've been proven right. We've seen the U.S. dollar move considerably higher. Is it still more to go? And if so, how much more to go?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great question. Mainly, again, and it's actually really, really good timing that we're talking now because, again, we've hit this important level again in the dollar. We bumped up to about 98.50, I think, a week to 10 days ago, and we've pulled off back from there again. So we've kind of gone back to the top of this range that we've been in. And, you know, once that range is broken, I think we go to 100, 101, 102 pretty quickly. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to happen right away. You know, I am convinced there's a dollar shortage. And if there isn't one today, there is going to be one in the not too distant future unless policy is dramatically changed. And when I say policy has changed, I don't mean that the Fed lowers rates once or they, you know, posture that they're going to be easy or ease monetary policy. I'm talking they need to do a huge change. And I just don't think that they're going to do it. I think the markets are not going to let them get that easy, so to speak. And that I don't think the markets will let them off that easy. Maybe that's a better way to say it. So I think that, you know, Trump has taken us right into the heart of Triffin's dilemma. And Triffin's dilemma, for those who are not familiar with it, says that any reserve currency will eventually get to a place where the needs of the domestic economy are in conflict with the needs of the rest of the world. And Trump's Make America Great Again policy has literally taken us right into the heart of that. Now, Powell has backed off on his hawkish language from last year pretty aggressively this year. And so, you know, the markets have taken that as a sign that he will provide those dollars that are necessary. But I don't think that people quite realize how many dollars would be necessary, even if he did decide to provide them. And I think the Fed going back to a dovish stance, so to speak, or an easing stance would, especially if they actually lowered rates, not just said it, but if they actually lowered rates, I think that would be an incredibly bearish signal to the rest of the world that, holy cow, 10 years later, the central banks did everything that they could do, and we still need this. To me, that's a very negative signal and a very deflationary signal. And I think that would send people scrambling for dollars, even though more dollars were going to be provided. So, you know, unless they came out with a $20 trillion stimulus package, I think the dollar might actually, it'd probably go down initially on the headline of it. But once people realized what it actually meant, I think the dollar would get stronger, even if QE came back. Think about it this way. You know, we did QE for 6 or 7 years from 2009 until 2015. The rest of the world never stopped. They're still doing it in some form. Europe has never raised interest rates once in 10 years. Japan has made MMT a national pastime. And China has absolutely flooded their economy with liquidity in just the first 4 months of 2019. If all of a sudden the dollar gets weaker because the Fed is going to go back to an easy monetary policy, and they'll say the dollar falls 10%. Well, that means the euro just went up 10%, the yen went up 10%, the yuan went up 10%. These countries are having a horrible time growing their economies the way it is. Now you're going to throw a 10% appreciating currency on top of it, and they're just going to sit back and take it. I just can't see that happening. So I think that this dollar milkshake theory, where we get the melt up in the dollar, is still very much to come. And I think we're really just waiting for the party to get started. Once 98 gets taken out on the DXY, I think things get really interesting really fast.
You know, Brent, in one sense, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that we are right on this critical level. And once we get a breakout, I think we could really start moving higher on the dollar. And I couldn't agree with you more. But one place where I really have trouble digesting the dollar milkshake theory, as you presented it in Vancouver, is you talk about the dollar eventually getting to all-time highs. What I cannot fathom, I completely see the logic for why it could get to all-time highs, but what I cannot digest is the idea that that could happen without a major conscious and intentional intervention to reverse it. So how far can the dollar appreciate before we have effectively, you know, another Plaza Accord or some other conscious intentional policy move to reverse the direction of the dollar?
Sure. So I think, again, let's talk timing here, because one of the things I always try to point out when, you know, I'm going to give you a good example. This morning, somebody sent to me on Twitter, you know, how's your dollar milkshake theory looking today? You know, because equities were down and the dollar was down a little bit, maybe flat. And I kind of laughed because, people sometimes just hear what they want to hear. You know, a key part of the milkshake theory is the shake itself. I've said many, many times, the dollar's not going to go up in a straight line. Equities are not going to go up in a straight line. And even if you subscribe to this theory, there's going to be days where it is absolutely terrifying, right? And I, you know, this is one of those days where, you know, the market sold off pretty heavily. The dollar didn't really catch a bid. Gold jumped. But, you know, I think this is part of the transition. This is going to be a volatile couple of years. This is my theory, even if it's right, is not going to play out in a smooth fashion. So what I think is likely to happen is that, you know, we break through 98 eventually. And whether that happens in the next 6 days or the next 6 months, I don't know. It's taken longer than I thought it would, but nothing has changed to keep me from to change my position on that. I'm still convinced that it will. But, you know, what will likely happen is it'll jump up to 102 or something. Trump will get on Twitter and complain about a strong dollar and it'll back off. Or, you know, maybe it jumps to 107 or 108 and the G8 has a meeting and they say, you know, we are confident this is a short-term transitory thing. You know, if necessary, we will provide da 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 da. And, you know, the dollar will back off. But then as markets progress, I think markets are more powerful than politicians or monetary authorities. And so I think it is going to be extremely volatile. If you look back to take the other side of it and go back to 2008, you know, the markets would fall and Bernanke would come out and say something and they'd rally for a couple of days and then markets would take over again and they'd fall and Paulson would come out and say, we've got this under control. You know, we are working closely with the Treasury and the Fed, and the president's aware of it. You know, and the markets would rally, and a couple of days later, it would fall. So I think that's going to be very much how it is. I don't think that the dollar is going to go to 150 and it's just going to be a smooth transition. I think it's going to be very scary. And when I say gold goes back to its all-time high, I think that'll be kind of the last gasp as some kind of a crazy just shot in the dark. You know, maybe it goes from 130 to 150 in a couple of days or a couple of weeks or something. But the way that I think that it could potentially go higher than many think, and this gets to the other part of your question, is if the Fed, for whatever reason, is not able to ease policy, which would ease the dollar. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that part of the reason that I think the dollar hasn't really broken out yet is because markets overseas haven't really broken down yet. And it kind of gets into the chicken egg, which causes which. Now, I've argued that as the dollar gets stronger, the rest of the world's going to come under pressure. And then when the rest of the world comes under pressure, the dollar will get a bid from a flight to safety. Now, whether the dollar goes higher because of the flows or whether the flows come because the dollar gets stronger, yeah, I don't really know. You know, it gets back to the chicken and egg thing. But I think what happens when it becomes very clear that the rest of the world is not growing, and maybe the U.S. doesn't have great growth prospects either, but when the break starts to happen and the U.S. starts to get capital flows from a flight to safety issue and the fact that we still have higher rates on a relative basis, I think that inflow of money into the U.S. may be enough to keep the Fed from being able to ease or to keep them from easing. If we get some inflationary pressures because of that flow of capital, you know, there's nothing to say that the Fed is going to be able to lower without causing crazier high inflation. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, we're going lower for longer. Rates are on a secular decline still. We're going to go to zero rates in the U.S. It's possible. I don't think that's the case, but it's possible. But if that happens, if rates fall significantly in the U.S., I think that's because there is an extreme slowdown in the rest of the world or in the world as a whole. And if the world slows down that much, I think the rest of the world's rates are going to start to rise on counterparty concerns. So I think the fact that we still have on a relative basis the highest yields, I think the rest of the sovereign yields are going to start to rise closer to the, but not for good reasons. You're not going to want to put your money into China or into Japan or into Europe because their yields are higher. I think those yields are going to be higher because people are trying to get the hell out of there, if that makes any sense. And I think when that happens, I think things are going to get very interesting. And I think what you're going to see is from people around the world are going to view the Dow as a safe haven. If you're, you know, an Italian pension fund manager and you see that the euro's in trouble and you don't, the domestic banking system is in shambles, and you can allocate to a blue chip that gives you a 4% dividend while the euro's falling 5%, all of a sudden you're making 9% a year. Maybe that doesn't look too bad to them. And I think that that is what we're going to see happen. Now, we'll see if I'm right or not, but that is how I think it's possible that the dollar goes higher than many people think before it's arrested via some kind of Plaza Accord.
Fascinating. Well, Brent, one thing we agree on is it's going to be a wild ride. There's so many moving parts here, and we look forward to getting your updates. We do have you scheduled just a few weeks out, and we look forward to having you back on Macro Voices All-Stars. Listeners, continue to watch your Macro Voices feed for new content, both All-Stars and some of our other new planned content coming up in coming weeks. For Macro Voices Premium, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.